But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with the Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Hey, good morning there. December the 1st, 2017. Where did November go? I'm telling you what. This has been like a holiday week in the Dobenmeyer house. The 24th, a week ago, was our anniversary, Thanksgiving. The 26th was my birthday. Today, the 1st, is my. It's not today, is it, Michelle? Me all up for Michelle. Our daughter's birthday is the 3rd, and her daughter's birthday is the 2nd. So it's birthday week in the Dobenmeyer house. God bless you. Thanks for being here, joining with us today. A couple of things I want to throw out there right at the top I watched a little bit of the show yesterday, which I thought was really, really good. And I want to just throw this out there just kind of as a reminder to you. I think our show is best with audience participation. I can talk all day. I can talk all day. And sometimes when I go back and I watch one of the shows we just did, sometimes I feel a little bit guilty. I think, man, Coach, shut up. Give somebody else a chance. So I just want to encourage you all again that jump in here, man. Your 2 cents is worth 2 cents here. The scripture teaches us that in the multitude of many counselors is great wisdom. And so even though you may be thinking something and you don't think it's very significant, when the Holy Spirit speaks to you, if you speak it out, it might encourage or enlighten somebody else. That's all I'd say. So that's, again, to me, that's the problem we have in church. We get to hear what the guy in the pulpit says, but we really don't get to hear what the Lord is saying to anybody else that's in there. So that's why I like the give and take and the free for all that goes on back and forth here. I'm amazed today as I woke up that Kate Steinle's killer was found not guilty. Unbelievable in San Francisco. I don't want to dive too deep into that other than to explain to you guys, girls, don't you miss this. The world is upside down. The culture is disintegrating. Hey, pass the salt. Pass the salt. See, moral relativism has given us this case of Kate Steinle, who was killed by a six-time removed illegal immigrant, six-time, possessing a gun, which he wasn't supposed to have. He violated so many crimes. Ended up killing Kate Steinle. And he confessed to killing Kate Steinle, and a jury let him off in San Francisco. Now, I think the jury let him off in San Francisco because of moral relativism. Michelle, straighten me out. Baby Mia's birthday is today. Maggie's is the 2nd. I'm sorry, sweet. My family thinks I'm losing my mind anyway. So our little grandbaby's a year today, and then her mother's birthday tomorrow. Moral relativism. Yeah, go ahead, Vinny.
Did you hear the attorney Matt Gonzalez make a jab at Trump
I did not.
When they announced it, and it's ridiculous. It's all butthurt. I wish it would just stop and get over it.
Yeah, but they're not going to get over it. And of course, they use Trump as one of the reasons to get the guy off. But moral relativism is this, in my opinion. We're living in a day where they've reached the point where now they will admit that something is wrong, but they want to be judged on their intention. I didn't intend to do that. Or I broke into the store because my family was hungry. So therefore I did steal it. But what are you going to do? Are you going to obey the law and not steal? Or are you going to let your family starve? Moral relativism. So the debate at the trial was not whether or not he did it, but was his reason okay? Did he have a reason? Was his reason justifiable? And so you see it everywhere in the media. You see it in the whole Bill Clinton sex cover up, right? Go back 20 years. They covered up all the Bill Clinton sex because why? It was important that he remain president of the United States, excuse me, for their agenda. And now they're here 20 years down the road, and we're seeing the benefits, reaping the whirlwind of that looking the other way, that moral relativism. And now it has encapsulated our nation, and nobody knows what to do about it. And don't ever forget that this whole sex abuse, it's all about getting Donald Trump. Not about anything else other than that. At some point, they're going to parade out a bunch of women. They're going to make accusations about Trump. And they're going to say, yeah, well, Matt Lauer had to go. Harvey Weinstein had to go. they're going to run down the list. Well, Donald Trump's going to have to go, you mark my word, that's where this whole thing is leading. Because for the most part, those of us who call it, carry the name of Christ have lost the ability to think and reason. Most of us have. And the world is totally and completely multicultural and humanistic and moral relativism. Yeah, Roger.
One thing I would add is to remember he was found not guilty, which means all 12 had to agree. It would have been a hung jury if just one of the 12 stood up and said, what in the world are you guys thinking? There's no way that he can be not guilty. Guilty, which would have hung the jury. So it's even worse than that.
Oh, my goodness.
All people who listened to a confession, and I don't know what the other defenses were yet, I've not read, but all 12 of them made this decision. You didn't have one person say, wait a second.
Roger, did you know this? Did you know that at least two of the jurors had to wear headphones for interpretation? They didn't speak English.
There was two people sitting on the jury.
Yeah, I mean, like, is this unbelievable? This is where we are. San Francisco, of course, you would expect it in San Francisco, but it's coming, boys. This is the whole Trump more. This is, we are in, the church has got to wake up. We are in right now in the crucible of this battle, and the church has got to wake up. I'm going to tell you, they ain't done with Judge Moore. They're not done with him. And I don't know if you've noticed this about Judge Moore. He's becoming more and more bold in his Christianity. Have you guys noticed that? He's now leading with, he's becoming more and more bold with his Christianity. Because he knows who his constituency is, and so he's going, and we're going to see more of it. We're going to see more and more bold Christians come out, which I think is going to ultimately be a good thing. So I want to.
That's how we're going to win.
That's the only way we're going to win. Righteous are as bold as lions, and evil men flee when no one pursues. We'll take you on a little journey here this morning. I want to mention the fact that the Bundys were released. Did you guys see that? They let the Bundys out after 23 months in prison. Without bail, and now released them. They've released now. The case isn't over, but they're no longer in jail. The Bundys are the only ones who have not been able to bail out. You can murder somebody a lot of times, get bail. You can get bail. They wouldn't even let them out. And because why? They blasphemed the government. Now, to be no doubt, who is God in America? It's the government. And the Bundys had the audacity to blaspheme the government. No bail for blasphemy in America. So we've got to watch how this whole thing is played out because, the BLM, they have committed so many crimes. It's the same thing. It's tyrannical. And so, we're beginning to see innocent people be released. We're beginning to see it. But we're beginning to see guilty people be released because there is no moral standard, no sense of right and wrong. Go ahead, Mark.
No moral standard. That's exactly where I was going. So how can you have justice when there's not a group of your peers with a moral center? Now, I'm going to blow y'all's minds right now. I'm sitting here thinking about that jury not speaking English. What happens when I just published yesterday an article about AI getting rights?
Uh-huh.
AI becoming citizens. Guess who's going to be on these juries soon?
Unbelievable, brother.
How are you going to possibly disprove an AI system that holds a charge against you? They are not going to be able to make a mistake. They'll be able to produce every fragment of data possible. How are you going to hold a dispute against an AI system? A robot.
This is my goodness.
You know, illegal aliens are just like robots. They're not citizens.
They're not.
They are. What the heck is going on?
Well,
jeez.
How about this one? And see, again, I don't think, with all deference to the legal system, I believe. Yes, we're going to talk about the Holy Spirit. Hang on. With all deference to the legal system, I really and truly believe that Americans, me, if I go to court, Mark Trump, Roger Weaver, be my attorney. Jared, look up the word peer, P-E-P-E-E-R, a jury of my peers. Where would I find a jury of people who think like me? a jury of my peers.
And how far does it go? Where's the line? How far does the judge ensure the jury's close to you? Is it your ethnic peer, your social peer, your cultural peer?
Hey, Mark, I want a jury of Christians. I want a jury.
Your religious peer. Your religious peer.
Yes, I want one
separate those. We separate churches.
Yeah, I want the ones that have the same value system that I have, so that when I'm sitting in that and they're judging, they're judging me based on my value system, right?
Coach, watch out. You don't want to ask for a jury of all Christians because
I knew you were going to say that. Like,
Christians is going
I knew you were going to say that. But if I got a good lawyer, he's going to weed out the he's going to weed the goats out of it, right? That's what I'm saying. I want a jury of spirit-filled, Bible-believing Christians. That's what I want. Could I demand that in court? Could I demand that in court, Roger? Would they let me do that?
You'll just have a tough time finding them, bro.
That's true. You're muted, Roger. I can't hear you, Roger. There you go.
The establishment has already ruled on that one.
Yeah. Not allowed to do that, huh? Not allowed to do it.
Church, separation of church and state.
I also want
to throw this in, fellas, and I just now opened my constitution to double check myself. But this jury of your peers, that's just like separation of church and state. That's a fiction that people think is in the Constitution. The Constitution reads this way: in all criminal prosecutions, the accused shall enjoy the right to a speedy and public trial by an impartial jury of the state and district wherein the crime shall have been committed. It says nothing about peers.
Unbelievable, Larry. That's good, because that's a legal fiction that we think about, doesn't it? And yep, to make sure that this guy who killed Kate Stein had a jury of his peers, they bring illegal immigrants in. That's his peers, right? Oh, Lord. I agree with you guys, though. I'd be afraid to have a jury of my peers up there be Christians, because I don't even know what the heck that means anymore.
You ought to put a mark in this. This discussion about the juries and justice and the future, we should put a pin in this and come back to it, because this is the tip of the iceberg.
I think you're right, Mark. AI. Well, what? Hey, Mark. What if they bring in witnesses that are AI? Just witnesses that have. Oh my goodness.
They're going to be experts because they'll be able to spit out a data set.
They already told us how they would do it 15 years ago in a little movie called Minority Report.
That's right. But people keep forgetting that AI can be hacked. So we can't trust that either.
Well, I don't. Hey, that's why I trust the Holy Spirit. Yeah, Dale.
Yeah, can I play the what if card? Because I agree with you. I think this is just laying a foundation. These sexual accusations and all of the things. Of course, if they could impeach Trump, they would do that. I pray for my president. But I've always said this, and I've shared this at church the other night. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, it talks about. It says the wisdoms of this world. It says the angel, if the rulers of this age had understood what they had done, they would have not crucified the Lord. So I'm just playing the what if card. So if they go forward and they impeach Trump to remove him from office, who takes his place? Mike Pence.
Right.
Brother. They do that, you're going to get a staunch, born-again, spirit-filled believer in the White House.
Unless he doesn't have the gonads to stand up and be a man. That's my concern. That would be my concern with Mike Pence. I don't, you know.
Yeah,
a jury of his peers. It says here, peer. Now, Larry just showed us that's not even in the Constitution. Thanks, Larry. But a peer is one of equal standing with another. The bandmates welcome their new member as a peer, especially one belonging to the same societal group, especially based on age, grade, or status. Teenagers spending time with their peers. In other words, teenagers ought to have teenagers on the jury. Is that what we're supposed to think? Pot smokers get pot smokers?
Yeah, but it's not supposed to be there no more as separation of church and state in the Constitution.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Except when they want to. It's not a separation between the church and the state. It's the separation between their church and our church. That's separation. Peer is a member of one of five ranks, a Duke, Marquis, Earl, Viscount, or Baron. Peers are, and commoners alike were shown the same courtesy. So a jury of our peers, that opens up a whole can of worms. What really is your peer? And Larry, you've enlightened me that it does not have anything to do with the Constitution. Another one of those made up rules that we think we have to follow. Probably came from some movie. That's the way they do it. Like this one. I love to ask people how many animals went onto the ark. Hey, Jared, go to Genesis. Why are you thinking of it? How many animals went on the ark? How many did Noah take on the ark? Well, we know they went on there. How many went on? Don't show them yet, Jared. How many animals went on the ark? Somebody out there know? Well, they went two by two.
They went two by two.
You can see it on Disney where they marched them in two by two. Except.
Yeah, but it depends on whether they were clean or unclean animals, et cetera, et cetera.
So even the Lord judged that one. Now let's go to Genesis 7. Somebody right now going, wow, I never knew that.
Yeah, and but the Lord said unto Noah. Yeah, but there's a bigger fish to fry. Remember now, because he's a bigot, because they went male and female. There was no female and female. Oh, so, yeah, I mean, yeah, we really got a problem now.
Yeah, now you're heading to where I'm going to go. They all
30 of those animals.
And the Lord said unto Noah, come, you and your house into the ark. First of all, he's very selective. He didn't invite everybody in the ark, even though we know God loves everybody. He only let seven of them get on the boat, I think. Seven of them. His house in Egypt for the ark for... Thee have I seen righteous before me in this generation. And look, here you go. Of every clean beast, shalt take to thee by seven, the male and his female. So there's 14 horses. 14 horses, not two. Seven males and seven females. And of the beasts that are not clean, by two. So there were two pigs. One male pig, one female pig.
Play that.
So there it is, right? And think about how you can win a fight in your church over that right there, because most people don't know that. We've been so programmed. And also of fowls, also of the air, take them by sevens, the male and the female, to keep seed alive upon the face of all the earth. For yet 7 days, and I will cause it to rain 40 days. Da, 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 da. So Moses, Noah did everything he was commanded. Cool. Okay, another thing. You ready? Jury of our peers. Jared, click on homo pastors. Guys, we're talking about the Holy Spirit. That's kind of our theme here this week. Go ahead, Rog.
Well, I wanted to throw one last thing on the issue of a jury. The thing we also need to remember, we as believers have also taken the position and supported that once a jury is impaneled, they are the law. Now, juries don't know that because the judge scares them. But once the jury is impaneled, to hear the case and to receive the case, the Constitution clearly has been interpreted as they're the boss. So what that means is they could go against any type of law or statute they felt was improper. We as Christians kind of like that at times because it says the people can make the decision. Now, in this case, it's unbelievable what they did, but once the jury is impaneled, they don't have to listen to anybody. They are in charge.
It's called jury nullification. Jury nullification, which, by the way, is the way that Ken Hovind saved his hide the first time. One of the jurors, 11 to 1, one of the jurors said this is not a crime. So when you're on the jury, you have the right to judge not only the case, but whether or not it's a crime. Jury nullification.
Now, they'll get a lot of pressure from the bench to stay on longer, to come up with a verdict. And most people, because they are afraid to challenge anything, will not rise up and challenge the judge. But the jury is above the judge once they are impaneled.
Unbelievable. We don't know that, do we? What's that?
How about the girl's father blowing the guy's brains out and then get a jury and they acquit him? What would happen then?
Hey, Robert, that's where we're heading, isn't it?
Yes, sir.
Isn't that where? See, we're talking about vigilante justice.
Amen.
And we're gradually reaching the point where is vigilante justice wrong? Boy, that goes against your Christian doctrine, doesn't it? I'm just here to challenge you thinking. That's all. I'm just here to challenge your thinking. Is vigilante justice wrong if there is no justice?
No, it's not.
If there is no justice, is vigilante justice wrong? So Robert is saying, what would happen if Kate Steinle's dad went out and did some vigilante justice? Well, we know what would happen. Okay, right wing watch, I'm not calling for that. I'm simply warning you that's where it's heading.
The real question is, when does vigilante justice become more just than the people who are tasked with dealing it out? There are court systems. When is it that society can actually be more justified and moral in their handling out of justice than the government? I mean, that's where we are, right?
Well, yeah, but where we are is we're putting immoral people in the office who have no standards. Yeah. That's why the whole Christianity, the whole thing that I try to preach all the time is, and Michael Savage, borders, language, and culture. If we don't share a common set of beliefs and laws and principles, and we think we're multicultural, and we all can come in here and live, how can you play basketball by a different set of rules? What if they said in the NBA, all black players can dribble the ball out of bounds? They're allowed to go out of bounds with the ball. Oh, no, let's do it the other way. What if they said all white guys could? Because there aren't very many white guys. White guys say, listen, we're having trouble here. And the judge says, yep, you know, you're right. All white guys can dribble. They can pass it to people in the stands. They can throw the ball anywhere they want to. And not only that, they can double dribble. They can start dribbling anytime they want to. The rules do not apply to the white minority here in the NBA. It would be a ridiculous game to watch. But that's what we're watching. They throw the Bundys in jail for 23 months who said they didn't do anything. They're innocent. And they let this bum who admits having shot somebody walk. Well, vigilante justice, brothers, that's coming to a door near you, coming to a house near you. Ministers sign a letter saying Roy Moore not fit for office. So when I saw this yesterday, I thought, hey, let's get some people ordained. If these people here can call themselves ministers, what's wrong? By the way, I picked up about four more yesterday. If you want to get ordained, this is the place to do it. Because people say, Coach, well, how do you know what kind of people you're ordaining? Well, look on your screen. Look on your screen. Look at that. Look at that. Hey, somebody tell me something. The one there in the black, is that a man or a woman? Does anybody know? Wait a minute. The Reverend Dave Barnhart, pastor of St. Unia United Methodist Church, and the Reverend Jennifer Sanders. There you go. Any bets on whether she's a dyke? Any bets? Am I allowed to use that word?
Yep.
Okay. Reverend Jennifer Sanders, pastors of a beloved community church. They're among the signers of a letter calling Roy Moore unfit for public office.
Ordained by the synagogue of Satan.
Amen. Yep. Hey, Dale, we got to be careful about ordaining people. We want to make sure that these people are ones we ordain, got to make sure they're qualified. Right? Let's scroll down here a little bit.
He's unfit for the office.
See, here's the problem, guys. Here's the problem. The pastors in Alabama ought to be outside these churches calling them to account. If you want to talk about cleaning up our own house, we want to worry about whether or not there's discipline in the body of Christ. It's a good place to start. Let's read this article. Let's go down here. Let's scroll down a little bit, Jared. Guys, I'm going to tell you something. You know what the problem is? These folks don't have the Holy Spirit. I'm going to say it again real slow. They don't have the Holy Spirit. Hey, Coach, how do you know that? Yeah, Vince.
I just want to say, isn't progressive Christian ministers, isn't that an oxymoron?
Well, they should say communist Christian ministries. That's also oxymoron. Progressive means basically communist, right? Remember, hey, see if you guys think that this verse here is appropriate at all. In that day, many will come to me and they will say, Lord, Lord, in your name, didn't we put on a backward collar? Didn't we have a congregation? And didn't we love one another? And didn't we look the other way at other people's sins? And weren't we non-judgmental? And the Lord's going to say, depart from me, you who work iniquity, for I never knew you. I'm telling you right now, here, boys and girls, these folks ain't saved, and they don't have the Holy Spirit. They don't. I get neither one of those folks. I wish they'd call me. I'd like to get one of them on the air here. Well, anyway, I see the demon coming. Right wing watch. Anyway, slide on down, Jared. Let's hear what they say here. Are you ready? Guys, here we go. Come on. This is important for us to see. A group of 59 progressive Christian ministers, more than half from mainline Protestant denominations. Well, hell, there's the trouble. I can turn this off right now. Half of them from Protestant. See, they're trying to do everything they can to make these people seem qualified, right? More than half of mainline Protestant denominations signed a letter released today calling U.S. candidate Roy Moore not fit for office. The signers included 23 United Methodist ministers, 8 Baptists. I'd like to know more about the Baptists. 7 Episcopal clergy and 7 Presbyterian pastors. Anybody need any more information than that? Anybody need any more information? The letter said of Moore, his extremist values and actions are not consistent with traditional Christian values or good Christian character. He and politicians like him have cynically used Christianity for their own goals, but Roy Moore does not speak for Christianity. They do, right? They speak for Christianity. That's what they're saying. And he acts in a way that are contrary to our faith. Bingo. Bingo. It is your faith, one you've made up. It's a form of godliness denying the power thereof. Moore is a member of the Gallup First Baptist Church and has the vocal support of his pastor. Wow. Wow. Southern Baptist ministers attending the Alabama Baptist Convention this past week were heard to criticize him. Oh, I bet they were. But the more liberal members of the clergy who released the letter today, not known for any previous support of Moore, did not hold back their criticism. I'm not going to read the whole letter. I'm not going to read the whole letter. I got in a discussion yesterday on Facebook. Sometimes I pick fights, sometimes I don't. I decided I'd pick one yesterday. With somebody who told me that he doesn't like Christians who judge. So I took him down the walk. It was an easy walk. Because we judge you constantly judge. We judge all the time. Anybody doesn't judge is stupid. Anybody doesn't judge. And then try to explain that whole thing to us. But see, there's a segment of Christianity who've latched on to, dare I say it, I'm trying to make a connection here, the mercy ministry. The mercy ministry. Hey, Jared, while I'm talking, please cue up flip. I think it just says flip, and it tells you that 51:24 mark or something like that. See, there's a section of Christianity, and I believe this deep from inside me, that most men who are called into the ministry or who become pastors, most of them major in mercy. They major in mercy. They have an affinity. They have a love for people. I mean, they have a genuine concern. They're very non-judgmental. That's most people. And so they can go. Okay, I'm going to say it. Okay, I'll say it. They can go get an ordination and then act like a woman. They can go do that. So they get ordained, and then they base everything on their emotion. And as Chad Estes likes to tell us, your emotions will betray you. They'll betray you. Now, you see these people. See, somebody's right and somebody's wrong here, okay? We see these other ministers talking about fairness and following the law, blah, 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 blah. They're against Judge Moore. 59 of them, 23 mainstream denominations. Here's going to come Brother Flip Benham, who, by the way, also went to Asbury College, which I believe, somebody help me, isn't that Methodist? I think Flip was a minister, pastor in the United Methodist Church at one time.
He sure was.
Yeah, he was, wasn't he? And he came out from among them and be ye separate and touch not the unclean thing. So I want you to watch and you judge for yourself if this dude is as righteous, as bold as a lion. Which one do you think, Lord, if the Lord were applauding, which one would he applaud? That those 23 ones we just read or this 5 minutes of Flip? Go ahead and play that, Jared.
And those in power, but by the people. It is now. We welcome Flip Benham. Flip.
Remember who he's speaking freedom of Jesus,
Judge
Jared.
Moore and Miss Kayla.
Remember, he's speaking to the national media in front of him, okay? Remember, guys, the righteous are as bold as lions. And he's not going to step up there and talk about how Judge Moore has to come clean. And if he did it, it is so horrible. I want you to watch the Holy Spirit at work. Righteous are as bold as lions. The righteous don't compromise and wimp out. Go get them, Flip. Unleash that lion, Flip.
To be here with you. I can remember the first time I came to Birmingham, Alabama, there were 8 freestanding abortion mills in the city. Today, there's only one. Today, there's only one because simple Christians living out their faith in the streets, simple Christians that are allowing the theology of heaven to become biography in the streets, and that's what you've done. That's your crime, Judge. You've allowed the theology of heaven to become biography in your life. You've dealt with the Ten Commandments issue. You've dealt with traditional marriage, and you've taken hits for that, and the devil and the gates of hell are quaking because you stand for truth, and truth sets people free. It is the truth, Jesus, and friends in the media, truth is a person. It's not a bunch of doctrine. It is, his name is Jesus, and that is the truth. So when I first came here in 2003 to stand with you and other pastors, this verse in Proverbs chapter 28, verse 4, came to me because they were calling us all lawbreakers, and you were in violation of the law. So in verse 4 of chapter 28 in Proverbs, it says this, those who forsake the law praise the wicked.
Amen,
that's where we are in America today. We're praising everything that God says is wrong and will destroy you. Homosexual sodomy destroys those who participate in that behavior and nations that approve of it. Amen. The killing of little baby boys and girls, amen, slaughtering them in their mother's wombs. That blood is crying out from the ground to Almighty God.
Amen.
So what we know is this. You're not a lawbreaker. Those who forsake the law praise the wicked, but those who keep the law resist them. You are a lawkeeper.
Wow,
you always have been a lawkeeper. Now, I got to just tell you, media, if I had to go back 40 years and look back at my past, I would be in serious trouble. And
amen.
I don't have an opportunity to face my accusers or anything like that, but just so long as they can just make the accusation, get it out there, then all of a sudden my character is completely impinged. By the way, Judge Moore was a Democrat back then, weren't you? Back in 1970-something? And he changed! Look at this! He's a Republican! Thank God! But I don't know what you were thinking. And it says this, and in verse 5 now, this is not one that I picked up back in 2003, but just for today. Evil men do not understand justice. The media doesn't understand justice. They don't understand how important it is for God to be just. He is just, absolutely just. And He has given us certain commandments. Unfortunately, we break them all. So God, in His infinite wisdom, sent His Son to pay the price for my sin and for yours and for everyone else. And we can have forgiveness, something the media doesn't understand. Forgiveness of my sin, whatever it may be. And then He mingles with His justice, mercy. And I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful for the God that we serve because this is the truth. My friends in the media, this is the truth. And your knee is going to bow and your tongue is going to confess that He is Lord.
Oh, yeah.
You have no choice in that matter. And your choice, well, is God going to send me to hell? He doesn't send anybody to hell. It's a place you choose to go.
Amen.
And right now we are fighting over the redefinition of truth in our nation.
Amen.
And the one paragon that is standing up for truth right now in this country is sitting right here with his faithful mate right there. They are standing up, and when the Democrats and when the enemy loses all the arguments, they begin with argument ad hominem, and they begin to pound on you, and they begin to disgrace you. But Jesus despised the shame. He endured the cross so that you and I could be saved. He is doing that. You are, the shame is being heaped upon you. But I want you to know that although you don't have the applause of this media, you got the applause of heaven, brother. Amen. We love you, Judge Moore. Miss Kayla, God bless you.
Amen. Amen. There's that lion unleashed, brother. Wasn't no compromise on that. None at all. Hey, Jared, I just sent you a link. Pull up the paper. It shows us. It says paper. It shows us the ministers who signed this thing. Hey, are you on flip side or are you on this side? Blow up that picture, Jared. Blow up that picture. Not everybody that says unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom. Look at that. Look at that. And see, the media loves these kind of Christians. The media loves these kind of Christians. These non-judgmental, God loves everything. Everybody's fine with me. I'm okay. Your media loves these kind of Christians.
That's because the media is evil.
Well, hey Joe, let us not forget this.
About our dinner.
Apart from Christ, we're all there.
I have because psychology.
We're all there. And you know what really grieves me in this whole mess? There's a lot, some people don't have a Holy Spirit discernment to understand whether Judge Moore is good or bad. They don't have the ability to discern it. That's what I'm telling you. That's what I'm telling you. The indwelling of the Holy Spirit is
well,
so critical.
That's why the Holy Spirit is so critical. I mean, we have no ability to make the judgment. I mean, because some of the people that I have met recently who are agnostic or whatever else other than Christian, I mean, my mind is blown away how these people don't get it. I just don't understand that.
They can't get it, Joe. They can't. It's not that they don't. The Bible says that the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit, neither can he. I tried to explain yesterday, it's a computer app. The Holy Spirit is a computer app. And if you don't have the computer app, you cannot understand the things of the Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the computer app. These people in front of us right there on that screen, they are moved by emotions and by misplaced love. That's what motivates them. You understand that, folks? We got to see this.
What about Franklin? Where on this? Why isn't he standing up and saying, hey, whoever speaks the word of the truth of the word of God and his laws, we should stand by. Billy Graham, what has he done for the Lord?
Well, Robert, I think Franklin Graham's come out pretty strong, really, but I agree with you. He ought to be calling these people vipers! That's what a Christian man would do. Stand up and say, they're vipers! They're not even saved! That's what I think. Now, Jared, keep scrolling down here because we get the list of them. We get the list of them. Now, we know this. Okay, I'm going to go there. I know we're talking about the Holy Spirit. I'm going to go there. Hey, guys, are you ready? I'm sorry. You can say what you want to. The Bible is very clear that a woman is not supposed to be a pastor. Not a minister, but not a pastor. Does anybody disagree with that? Anybody want to argue that? I think a lot of the women pastors I see are women pastors because their husband hasn't stepped up to the plate. That's what I think. Okay, somebody help me count here. Dr. Dave Barnett, United Methodist. Reverend Angie. Reverend Matt. Reverend Jennifer. Reverend Ramon. Reverend Kat. What is that? Minister Kara. Reverend Jamie. Reverend Eva, Reverend Tyler, Reverend Laura Stevens Reed, Reverend Sally, Reverend Wayne, Reverend Matt, and Reverend Emily, Reverend Kelly, Pastor Adam, Reverend Eric, Reverend Carolyn, Reverend Paul, Reverend R.G., Reverend Doctor, a Reverend Doctor, let's get a hold of him or her, Reverend Dr. Lawton, Reverend E. Tremaine, Reverend Stephen, Reverend Paul, Reverend Sonia, Reverend Daniel, Reverend Malcolm, Reverend Pamela, Reverend Horace, Reverend Bishop Antoine B., Reverend Charles, Reverend Dolly, Reverend Joe, Reverend Bud, Reverend William Herb, just old Herb, he ain't a Reverend old Herb, I guess, Reverend Louis, Dr. Everett, Dr. Kevin, Reverend Stephanie, the Reverend Tom, John Gregory, I guess he's just a chap, Pastor Marcus, Reverend Katie, Reverend Tommy, Reverend Joe, Ava, I guess she's not one either, PhD, oh yes, she is, oh yes, Reverend Lawrence Wilson, PhD, no, Ava, she's just whatever. She's just an associate pastor. Reverend Thomas, Reverend Elizabeth, the Reverend Micah, the Reverend Baxter Chisholm, Carolyn Garner, Reverend Deborah, Reverend Lydia, Reverend Dale, Reverend Jay Shannon, Shalane Bird, Reverend Kevin, Reverend Doreen. Yeah.
So how many professions out there do you put a "the" in front of your title?
Uh-huh.
The honorable, that's a judge. So how come is it that one of the most humble professions puts a "the" in front of their title?
Because it's
what about
me,
Ohio State?
I tell you what, that right there sums up what you were saying the other day about them just wanting to be in charge and control.
Well, they got a piece of paper now too, don't they? They got a piece of paper, and in the eyes of the world, they got a piece of paper.
That's what it adds up to, an epic fail.
It is an epic fail. It is. And so, you know, the media loves to cater to these kind of guys, because I'm going to tell you, every one of these are probably homo supporters. It's all about homo supporters. That's all this is. Social gospel. Think Flip Ben would fit into this group?
You want to hear something?
Where's Reverend Ray LeBlanc? Where's he in here? Where's Reverend Larry Richardson? Where's Reverend Mark Trump? See, we just need a piece of paper. You have a piece of paper, you can say anything. Go ahead, Mark.
One of the contradictions is the lady in that picture in the previous slide.
Yeah.
She actually spoke out against homosexuality. And she was, there's a news article about her being, you know, supported by Christian activists because she actually spoke out. In the middle of all that, how can her value be so different towards any sort of burden of proof before prosecuting someone? I mean, how support vote? I don't understand it.
Here, can I play off of that question, Dave?
Please do.
Here's my question. I am 57, and I have been in numerous church committee meetings and gathering the saints for a decision. Many times, and I say this without being arrogant, I'll make a statement that I believe is absolutely biblical, not up for question. And most of the people look at me like I have two horns on. Here's my question, and I'm serious about this. How can some be so far off of what I believe is factual biblical position? And it's easy for them to say, well, you just think you're right. But I'm not talking about questionable issues. I'm talking about clear issues. It's as if I want to look at them and say, I'm so sorry, but you can't be filled with the Holy Spirit with that position.
Mm.
Hey, Coach.
So yeah, go ahead, Jared.
Just a quote to answer Mark's question is, doublethink means the power of holding two contradictory beliefs in one's mind simultaneously and accepting both of them.
That's right.
That's from 1984.
So in other words, Jared, Hey, I'm pro-life, but I understand why a woman would do it. That's double think.
Now, let's look at that real quick, and this is important spiritually. The most important thing there is that word beliefs.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things I've learned since I went to the Boise conference coach is I've learned how to believe again. And I'll give you an example. When Revelation 12 happened, I heard it, I understood it, I know that it's a celestial sign. But then I was out on my porch one evening, and I had stellarium, and I pointed it in the sky, and I realized that Jupiter is right in the southern sky off my back porch. And I could see the other celestial bodies. I mean, it became, when I read Revelation 12 then, on my back porch looking at the sky, I believed it, you know, and it was true in my head, and it changed me. That's what taking the Holy Spirit is. That's what Christ is. Now, reread this thing about doublethink and try to imagine these people in Washington believing what they think. It's just blowing my mind here, but that's a great, I'm glad you brought that up.
So, Mark, it's like this. It's like a Christian who would say to you, I'm pro-life. I believe abortion is murder, but a woman deserves a right to choose. That's doublethink. That's holding two contradictory views at the same time. That's like saying a woman was raped, so let's kill the baby. And you say, well, no, you don't punish the baby for what the father did. They can't do that. See, the Holy Spirit doesn't allow me to have contradictory views anymore. So if I find a contradictory view in my mind, I say, Lord, help me out here. How do I justify this? How do I justify it? You know what? The Holy Spirit always guides us to truth. So when people say to me, you're pro-life? Are you for the death penalty? And a lot of people crumble right there. I say, daggone right I am for the death penalty. Why? How can you say you're pro-life before the death penalty? Because an innocent baby's innocent. That person isn't innocent. Jesus hung on the cross. That would have been a great time for him to speak out against the death penalty, wouldn't it? Didn't one of the thieves look over at him and said, Lord, you get us off of here. We don't deserve this and neither do you. Wouldn't that have been a great time for Jesus to say, you're right. Oh, they are treating me so unfairly. I was in a wicked trial. They lied about me. Yeah, get me. No, he didn't say that. He didn't say that. He took the death penalty. Death penalty is the greatest respect for life. You lose, you take a life, you lose a life. Go ahead, Mark.
So in a time when this doublethink idea is pervasive, even in our justice system day after day, the ability to not be logical is almost applauded. Mm-hmm. We have artificial intelligence, which comes to this thing, and we're worshiping the logic.
Well, Roger,
it makes no sense.
Roger, they take you into law school and they teach you doublethink. That's what they do, and the courts no longer require truth.
Yeah, coach.
Go ahead, Larry.
You know, you mentioned Jesus on the cross and the criminals that were crucified with him. A lot of people, you know, Jesus said, I tell you today, you will be with me in paradise. A lot of people think Jesus was telling them he was going to be there in paradise with him that day. Uh-huh. You see, there's no punctuation in Greek.
That's right. The
Bible says that Jesus went 3 days down and before he arose, before he went up to the Father.
Well, so that's a good
Jesus
point.
Jesus says, I'm telling you today, you will be with me in paradise.
He's not saying, I'm telling you that today you'll be with me in paradise,
right?
Because Larry, he didn't even go to paradise for three days.
That's right. So, you know, and that's one of the places that non-Christians and even Christians that don't know better or want to be Christians say that the Bible contradicts itself. But there's no contradiction there. All you got to do is simply look at the passage of what it says in the Greek and then think. Use a little logic.
You got to think. That's why I love the Q. Larry, you just equipped me with something else there, man. I just love this. Hey, listen, I just got a text here. Somebody says, could you show me where it says about being a women pastors? Jared, I just sent it to you. See if you can click on that from Carm here real quickly. Listen, guys, I don't want to get into an argument about it. I don't want to take up the time to do it.
Okay, Coach, before you go any further, I was going to wait until after the queue and call you on this one. But that verse, 2 Timothy 2:12, and I'll read it here, "But I suffer not a woman to teach nor to usurp authority over the man, but to be in silence." Now, that's the verse people say women can't be pastors. But that word man in that verse means husband. Wife has no authority over the husband. It has nothing to do with the position in the church.
Okay, Larry, here's the issue that I would have. So, folks, let me, for the person who texted me, let me read this real quick. Larry just did, 1 Timothy 2:12 through 14. Larry just said it means husband and his wife. "But I do not allow a woman to teach or exercise authority over a," Larry would said that says husband, okay, "or remain quiet. For it was Adam who was first created and then Eve. And it was not Adam who was deceived, but the woman, quite deceived, fell into transgression." Then 1 Timothy 3:15 says, "But in case I am delayed, I write so that you will know how one ought to conduct himself in the household of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar, support of truth." So this thing, the woman is not to have authority over the man in the church context, the household of God. I could take you on down through all this. Let me, here's one of the things. Somebody help me out here, okay? This is one of the questions that I just always have asked. If I were to get married, I'm married. If my wife were to become, let's say I'm still coaching football, and Michelle, my lovely wife, gets ordained and she wants to start a church, and I'm going to come and help her be the church. So we have Pastor Michelle and Coach Dave. Pastor Michelle's the lead pastor and Coach Dave's whatever. He's the helper, whatever comes along there. I want to ask you something. How does that relationship work when we're not at church? Is she still boss over me? Can my, not boss, not head over me? Can my wife be head over me in the church and me be head over her in the home? See, I'm sorry, guys. I don't see how that one works. I do not see how that one works. And so, I'm not adamant. I'm not one of those guys that will go to war over the fact that a woman is in a position of authority. But I'm telling you, I don't think a woman is supposed to be over a man in any aspect. Does anybody disagree with me on that?
No, absolutely. Matter of the church itself,
from a biblical perspective.
From a biblical perspective, the church is like on the marriage unto Christ, whatever. But the wife, even though she can teach in the home, the husband is still the head of the home.
Right.
A woman can teach, I believe, but the man has to be the spiritual head of the church because Christ is the head of man and man is the head of
woman. I couldn't agree more. A woman can teach. Yep. I couldn't agree more.
Yep.
I have any trouble receiving from a yep. woman teacher. I have no trouble with that. But to be in position of authority?
Not at all.
I think the Bible's really, really clear on it. So,
hey, Coach, what about an Old Testament, though?
Say it again, Rob.
What about an Old Testament when Deborah, when God planned to lead the war, he picked a prophetess, Deborah?
Well, but we would agree that wasn't God's original plan, was it, Robert?
Matter of fact,
he couldn't find a righteous man.
That's right. Couldn't
not
find
only
a man.
That she was a judge. She wasn't the king. She was a judge. She was not a pastor.
There you go, brother. There you go. So I've probably made every woman in the world mad this morning. I'm just trying to. Hey guys, it's like this discussion I had last night. This guy who just believes in God and believes in the Father. He told me he believes in the Father and in the Son and the Holy Spirit. And then I said, well, cool. Let me ask you something. Why don't you agree with him? If you believe that God is God, why don't you agree with him? Why do you have different views than him? And you think you're right. I said, did this ever happen to you? I said to this guy, would you go to a auto parts store and you go to him and say, hey, listen, my water pump went out. And the guy goes, you go in the water pump, and he goes on his computer, the guy in AutoZone, says, okay, here's what you need. He said, oh, no. I don't use that one. I want this other kind. He says, no, the manual says this is what you got to use. Oh, nah. I had a lot of experience with it. I don't do that. Do you go by the manual or not? Do you use the manual or not? Listen, this is not hard. If you're a Christian, you cannot pick and choose which rules you're going to follow. We can't do that. That's how we ended up in the mess we're in. Yeah, Mark?
So I'm not an authority on this, obviously. I'm more one of the congregation, kind of listening to pastors speaking, understanding the role of the woman in the home and the bride and the groom and the church. And this is what I'm thinking. If you're a pastor of a church, relationship with your wife, wouldn't you want that relationship to be demonstrating the precepts in the Bible that Adam and Eve and man and woman with the man in charge? Wouldn't you want your church to see that in your own relationship? So it's not just can you charge of the home when he goes home. How does that man represent hold in the church as an example to all the other men?
So if the Lord says that a woman shouldn't rule over a man in his own house, should a woman rule over a man in God's house? That's really what it comes down to, isn't it?
But you have been saying for weeks, and I believe it, and I understand it, and I agree with you, that the pastor is not to rule over. The pastor is to serve.
That's right, Larry. Hey, listen, I'm going to tell you something. I consider Pastor Bill Dunphy my pastor. Let me tell you something. Pastor Bill Dunphy don't run my house. My pastor doesn't run my house. I run my house. I talk to my pastor. He gives me advice. I take his advice to heart. But the Lord is my shepherd. Ultimately, I'm going to stand before the Lord. I'm not going to stand before my pastor. And when I stand before the Lord, my pastor isn't going to be there with me. So at some point, don't you think at some point I ought to get settled in my heart, a relationship with the Lord where he can direct me? And I'm not making fun of pastors and for the role that they play, but my pastor is not the head of my house. I'm the head of my house. I have to make those decisions. Somebody tried to break in here. Yeah.
Coach.
Yes.
Hey, even nature and natural laws speak to what you're talking about. You know, in my house, it's just natural when my wife hears a noise at night or she feels threatened, to me, be the protector, to be the
And George, George, you're breaking up. You're breaking up, George. So when your wife said there's some bad guy at the door, do you call your pastor? Ask him to come over and check the door for you?
Hey, Coach.
No. Yeah, Jim.
Maybe if he's a packing pastor.
Well, and Larry, to kind of, with Larry's, my thought that goes into this is Jesus served people and he was God, right? But service is different than authority. He has ultimate authority and he still is Lord. And your pastor still has authority in the church. But he's obligated to serve because he has the authority. That's how I look at it.
Amen. So, Jared, let me throw one more jab before I get done here. I got an email this morning. At least I read it this morning. From some guy being critical about our protect the flock with a Glock. He says, oh, you took the cross and you took that righteous image of the cross and you defiled it by putting it on that shirt. You know what I responded to him? I said, hey, dude, let me ask you something here. What have you done about the little image bearers of Christ himself that are being slaughtered daily in the Planned Parenthood down the street? You religious devil, leave me alone. We strain at a gnat and we swallow a camel. We no longer do what? Seek justice, love, mercy, and walk humbly with our Lord. We've got this whole thing out of whack. Listen to this. I get to play golf tomorrow, December 2nd. I get to play golf. It's going to be 50 degrees. I'm going to be on the golf course. Ain't God good? Have a great weekend, man. We'll see you on Monday.